RNZ Pacific News, kia ora koutou, ko Susana Leata with DNA. A team will be working through the night to pack more than a dozen aid containers for Tonga after an overwhelming response to an Auckland collection drive. Aotearoa Tonga Relief Committee Secretary Pakilau Manase Lua says the shipment leaves Auckland on Wednesday for Tonga.
So altogether about 1,000 drums. Given the demand and people who are still looking for drums, we could probably do with another 8 to 10 containers all up or even more.
Pakilau Manase Lua expects the Mount Smart gates to be open for drop-offs again tomorrow with strict COVID-19 measures in place to reflect the new traffic light system. He says volunteers are also preparing the drive-through service for New Zealand's move to the red traffic light system to combat the spread of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Tonga is requesting tractors and tools to help food growing so it can quickly recover from the devastating volcanic eruption and tsunami. A New Zealand group helping Tonga has collected more in donations in 3 days at Mount Smart Stadium than free container space it's been allocated. Its co-chair and local MP Jenny Sarlesa says they're sending non-perishable foods, but she says crops and gardens in Tonga have been ruined by volcanic ash, and the government has told her they need equipment.
And what the Prime Minister was saying to me yesterday is that they would need things like tractors, gardening tools to assist the people of Tonga to grow their own food.
Jenny Sarlesa says there's also a need for boats and outboard motors, with many washed away in the tsunami. A significant clean-up operation is underway in Rarotonga as strong winds and sea surges continue to batter the island. Two ports have been damaged and piles of debris have overloaded roads. Cook Islands Meteorological Service Director Arunga Ngari says low-lying areas have been flooded.
Working closely then with the police as well as Office of the Prime Minister with Emergency Management Cook Islands, happy to say that we have managed to safeguard the community.
Arunga Ngari says the weather system has been battering the mainland for much of last week and it's expected to continue for another couple of days. The head of the World Health Organization for Europe says the continent could be moving towards the end of the pandemic once the current wave of Omicron has subsided. But Hans Kluge warns it doesn't mean an end to COVID-19 as a disease. RNZ's Pulina Lau has more.
Europe's regional director of the WHO says there will be some global immunity for some weeks and months after Omicron subsides, either thanks to the vaccine or immunity from infection. Hans Kluge says it's anticipated there will be a period of quiet before COVID-19 comes back at the end of the year. It could be a more manageable endemic illness like the seasonal flu rather than a pandemic, but Mr. Kluge is warning society needs to be careful, saying the virus has surprised everyone more than once. The organisation's technical lead on COVID, Maria van Kerkhove, says the pandemic will not end with Omicron as the virus is still evolving.
5 New Zealand tourist hotspots are grappling with another summer without international visitors. Fiordland, South Westland, Queenstown, the Mackenzie District and Kaikoura have been identified as the hardest hit destinations due to the loss of overseas visitors. Businesses in the regions have been rolling out the welcome mat to New Zealanders this summer in hope of a boost before a long winter. Kaikoura Kayaks Operations Manager Matt Foy says it's been quieter than last summer. He says he will take a cautious approach to planning given the level of uncertainty. A high chief in New Caledonia has been charged over the unrest in 2020 on Māori, which led to the evacuation of more than 130 residents to Noumea. Henri Dukokas Naiselin and 5 other people are accused of masterminding a violent campaign following the disputed appointment of a new Protestant pastor. They were arrested last week after ignoring several summons, but after 3 days of questioning, they've been conditionally set free as investigations continue. They're not allowed to carry arms, are banned to communicate with each other, and must regularly report to police. In November 2020, dozens of people joined the violence, stole belongings, burnt down homes and set cars on fire. many residents fled, which led the New Caledonian government to charter two planes to evacuate 138 people to Noumea, where they have remained. Representatives of the Taliban have held talks with Afghan civil society activists in Oslo as part of a three-day meeting to discuss the humanitarian crisis in the country. A Taliban leader has described the talks as constructive. The Taliban delegation will meet Western diplomats tomorrow. The BBC's Lise Doucet reports.
Norwegian diplomats emphasise these talks don't imply recognition of Taliban rule. But some Afghans declined invitations to join these closed-door meetings, saying the Taliban should not be rewarded for their widespread violations. Western envoys will use their discussions to press for a more inclusive Taliban government, respect for human rights, and the need for girls to be educated. The Taliban need Western financial support, and they want international recognition.
To sports news, Tennis Australia has defended the confiscating of T-shirts and a banner posing the question, where is Peng Shuai at the Australian Open? Concerns for Peng's welfare have been raised since she made allegations of sexual assault against a high-ranking Chinese official in early November. Peng, a two-time Grand Slam doubles champion, has rarely been seen in public since. A video on social media shows Australian Open staff asking a spectator to remove a T-shirt featuring the message, and police then informing the spectator that the tournament rules prohibit political slogans. Tennis Australia says Peng's safety was the organisation's primary concern. The Fijian Sevens teams missed the Seville Sevens due to positive COVID-19 tests. Several players in both the men's and women's teams returned positive results. Fiji Rugby Union Chief Executive John O'Connor says the results were unexpected, but they had no other choice but to withdraw. O'Connor says the players and management who initially tested positive have since tested negative. In their absence, the United States take on France in the first women's semi-finals, followed by Russia's clash with Australia. In the men's event, South Africa face Australia and England then play Argentina. The head of the Crusaders Super Rugby team, Colin Mansbridge, says while there may only be limited fan access to games because of the move to the red traffic light setting, their main concern is that the games can still go ahead. The Crusaders have moved a pre-season game against the Hurricanes from Blenheim to Christchurch because it will be easier to manage under the current COVID guidelines. The start of the competition is just over 3 weeks away, and Mansbridge says their priority are the players.
I think the key thing is about how we're going to manage availability into the competition. You know, how do we suppress the virus from getting into our environments and then make sure we've got as many fit and healthy athletes available to play games as possible. Obviously, financially, we know we're going to be bruised this year, but there's also making sure that we have players available to play the game.
The start of Super Rugby Pacific is just over 3 weeks away. That's the news on RNZ Pacific. You can read and hear more of our stories online at rnzi.com.au.